follow along to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5 in Mark's Gospel. And this morning we're going to focus on verse 25 through 34 in Mark chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading at verse 21, and you'll see this is really a story within a story. Jesus on his way to Jairus's daughter, and I'm not going to read the end of the story, but you're probably familiar with how that ends in a good way. But we're going to look at the story that's within that story this morning from Mark chapter 5, and I'll read verse 21 through 34. And I invite you now to give your attention to the living and true Word of God. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, and knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And that's where we'll end the reading of God's word together this morning. Let's stop and ask for his blessing. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. What a privilege it is to hear from you this morning and to have your gospel. And I ask now that you would open our ears, open our hearts to receive your word with faith, and let it sink in and lay it up in our hearts so that we might practice it in our lives to your glory and for our good. And so, Holy Spirit, direct us and guide our thoughts and apply your word to us. Give us understanding and faith and help us to see Christ in all his glory. For we pray this in his name. Amen. 12 years. 12 long years. That's 144 months, or 624 weeks, 4,380 days. That's how long this woman had suffered with this affliction. But 12 years of suffering was over in an instant by the power and compassion of Jesus. 12 years of suffering gave way to immediate healing. Not because of a touch, not because of special clothes, but by faith in Jesus. In an instant, she is transformed from hopeless to healed. And it's an amazing story. And in this section of Mark's gospel, there's really a series of similar amazing stories. I'd encourage you to go and read some of the surrounding passages in Mark. But these stories confront us with the reality of life in this broken, sinful, dark world full of suffering. And they confront us with this through storms and demons and sickness and even death. But what we see again and again here in Mark's gospel is the awesome remedy in Jesus Christ. One by one, he handles them all. One by one, his divine power brings immediate calm and peace and salvation. And that's what we see in this story before us this morning. We see his power over the body and over disease. And we see his gentle care for a poor, hopeless woman. We don't even know her name. But I think it might not be right to call her entirely hopeless, because she hadn't lost all hope. She pursued Jesus with hope that he could make her well. And Jesus said afterwards that it was her faith, her hope in him, that had brought her salvation and healing. Everyone else, everything else, had left her hopeless. But with Jesus, there was hope and there was healing. And this woman left a changed woman with peace to both body and soul. And this morning, I want you to see that this beautiful, amazing story calls each one of you to Jesus. It calls you to faith in this Jesus, to go to him like this woman to be healed, to go to him for peace, go to him for hope and salvation. And so, brothers and sisters, God's word this morning calls you to go to Jesus, to find your peace, to find hope and healing from him. Go to Jesus so that you might go in peace. Jesus gives peace, he saves, and he heals. And that is what we need to see together in God's word this morning. So let's look at this together in depth, to see the identity and character of Jesus and to be called to faith in him. And I want to do that together this morning in three steps. First of all, I want to consider the suffering of this woman. And then her miraculous healing, the tremendous touch that brings her complete healing. And then finally, her interaction with Jesus afterwards, the merciful meeting that Jesus has with her. And so let's first look at her severe suffering. Please look with me again at verse 25 and 26. Mark writes, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." Well, you know the situation that Jesus is currently in, the larger story. He's on his way to Jairus' daughter, who's at the point of death. And he has no time to lose. But there's this great crowd thronging him, following him. And in that crowd, there's this woman pursuing Jesus because she believes that he can heal her. And she's in desperate need of healing. She has this unceasing flow of blood. And this severe suffering that she's been going through has endured for 12 long years. It's interesting, the young daughter of Jairus is 12 years old. And you It's interesting to see the pattern of 12 there. But this woman has been suffering for 12 years. And it's suffering that's reminiscent of the suffering of the demoniac and the leper that we see early in Mark's gospel. And yet it's unique, and it's worse in its own way. And her suffering here, her condition is called an affliction in verse 29 and 34. But affliction doesn't quite capture the severity of this. It doesn't quite capture the word that Mark used to describe her condition. She literally had a scourge, a bodily affliction that was almost like being whipped over and over again, beat down continually for 12 long years. That's how bad this was. It was a chronic condition that brought not only physical suffering, but intense social and emotional suffering as well, because of the nature of it. It was a private and personal issue and would have carried with it an awkward and embarrassing stigma, especially in the ancient world, in a day before modern sanitation and modern medicine. The nature of this affliction, this flow of blood, would have also rendered her ceremonially unclean, according to the ritual purity laws of the Old Testament. And it wasn't just for a few days at a time. This was constant. And so she would have been an outcast. She would have been excluded from religious and social circles due to this incurable condition, due to this constant flow of bodily fluid. In fact, her coming into the crowd on that day and touching Jesus would have not only been taboo, but forbidden. And this all went on for 12 years. It was a never-ending problem every day with no relief. Imagine waking up every morning with the same condition, the same problem, and finding no help, getting no better. In fact, getting only worse. And this woman tried everything. But there was no physician who could heal her. And she'd actually suffered under them, trying many physicians, suffered embarrassment, financial loss. She spent everything she had. She drained all of her financial resources. She would have suffered under the primitive and unscientific treatment of the day. And she only got worse. The problem was bad enough itself, but for it to get worse after seeking help would have been utterly demoralizing and devastating. Mark chapter 5 has been referred to as St. Jude's chapter because it's full of hopeless cases and hopeless characters like this woman. Can you imagine this morning? Can you imagine the hopelessness of this woman, her sorrow, her discouragement, her continual suffering? And she would get her hopes up only to have them dashed again and again. There is no cure. There's no end in sight. Think about how alone and afraid she must have felt. She was utterly spent, destitute, drained of all her money, physically drained from the actual drain of blood. She would have been very weak and severely anemic and completely emotionally drained as well. And her suffering and her situation just weighs heavy on the heart thinking about it this morning, does it not? And I wonder if some of you have known those who have suffered in similar ways, in long, severe suffering with chronic pain, a chronic condition, or maybe you've known it yourself, or maybe you're in the midst of it this morning. Well, such suffering is a result of the fall and sin, but it's also a dramatic picture of the severity of our condition in sin, of our hopelessness and our helplessness as sinners. the hopelessness of our situation apart from Jesus Christ, and how there's no remedy to be found but in Christ. All the money in the world could not help this woman, could not heal her, couldn't alleviate or cure her condition. All the time in the world couldn't help her find a cure. And she had been at it for 12 years. All of the world's wisdom, the best doctors could not save her. They only left her worse. There was no earthly solution. And it all just left her drained and hopeless. And friends, that is true of all of us, in one sense, physically, because we're all slowly being drained of life. And I don't want to be morbid this morning, but realistically, nobody survives this life. Nobody has found a cure for death. No one can keep the heart always beating. But this is also true spiritually. No one can save their souls. No one can buy salvation. No one can cure their sinful, sick souls that are dead in sin. No one can find healing or eternal life by anything or anyone that this world offers. Ultimately, we are all in a hopeless situation as well, similar to this woman, but hopeless only apart from Jesus. And as I've said, this woman was not entirely without hope because Jesus had come. And she hears that he's nearby. And she believes that he can heal her. And so she goes to great length just to be able to get within reach of Jesus and reach out and touch him. And it's a tremendous touch. It's a life-changing touch. And I want us to consider that second this morning, the miraculous healing, this tremendous touch. Look with me at verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." There's a progression here in this story that leads to the woman's healing. First of all, she hears. Mark says she heard about Jesus. She's heard good news of this man who taught with authority, who cast out demons, who healed the sick. Perhaps news of his calming the storm or casting out the demons in Legion had already reached her. Had she not heard of Jesus, she would not have come to him and pressed through the crowd in faith to be healed. And this is really true of all who come to Christ for salvation and believe in him. They have to hear of him. Romans 10, how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Well, she hears. But it doesn't stop there. She responds to what she's heard. Jesus said many times in Mark chapter 4, just before our chapter, that he who has ears, let him hear. Well, this woman truly hears of Jesus, and she acts on that in faith, and she goes to him. Look at verse 27 again. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd. She comes to him. She didn't know everything about him. She may have never seen him before. Perhaps she didn't fully understand who he was or what he had come to do. But she knew that she needed him. And she believed that he could help her. And so she works her way toward him through the crowd, coming up behind him, finally getting close enough to just reach out and barely touch his garment. And some people read this and think, well, she was superstitious. She attached healing powers to the clothes he was wearing. But I think that she knew that it was actually him. It was Jesus, not his garments, not her touch that would heal her. And Jesus will tell her in verse 34 that it was her faith that made her well. Her faith in him and his power. And I think she knows that she's breaking the rules being in the crowd. And she knows that it's going to be hard to actually physically get to him. She could likely tell he was in a hurry moving somewhere else. She knows that to come into contact with others in the crowd would make them unclean. We know she's exhausted, she's embarrassed. But she's been telling herself, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Just picture her pushing and ducking through the crowds, keeping an eye on Jesus, trying to catch up to him, desperately wanting to get to him, to where she could just quickly and quietly reach out and touch him. And she's saying to herself under her breath again and again, if only I may touch him. If only I could just even reach out and touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And she keeps saying that to herself as she gets closer and closer. This woman goes to Jesus because she believes he has the power to heal. And she needs help. She's desperate. Nothing else, no one else has helped or worked. And so eventually she makes it close enough to reach out and touch him. And her faith is instantly rewarded. The moment she touches Jesus' garments, she's healed. Look at verse 29. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Immediately. She's healed. All of a sudden, the fountain, the flow of blood stops. And the healing is instantaneous. There's no intervening time or means. The divine power of Jesus heals her immediately and automatically, right on the spot. And she's healed completely. And she knows right away that it's worked. It's obvious to her. She feels 12 years of suffering and pain and hopelessness gone in a moment. But she doesn't leave the crowd and walk off in the sunset. The story's not quite over. She wants to slip away, but Jesus isn't going to let her. He's not content just to heal her body. He wants to meet her. He wants to show her love. He wants to speak to her face to face and make it clear that it was her faith that brought this grace and this healing in her life. He wants her to tell her story and fully see and trust him. And so let's look at that third and finally this morning. Let's consider the merciful meeting. Look with me at verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, Jesus is the one who heals this woman. He permits his power to pass into her and heal her. He knows he's been touched, but not just by the crowd. He knows he's been touched in a different way. Touched with faith. And it could be that he didn't even physically feel her touch because of the crowd all around him, because it was only his clothes. But he knows that the power, his power, has gone out and healed, and so he stops in his tracks and he asks, "Who touched my clothes? Who touched me?" And his disciples think he's crazy. "Come on, Jesus, you're getting touched repeatedly by everyone around you, by the crowd thronging and pressing into you. Are you serious now? We don't have time for this, Jesus. Jairus' daughter is on her deathbed. He's an important man. We got to keep moving. Let's go." But Jesus lingers, and he turns, and he looks in the crowd. And you see his perfect timing, his compassion, his patience, his knowledge of everything that's going on, even with Jairus' daughter. He didn't have time for this from our perspective. In fact, as you read on, time runs out for the little girl. But that doesn't stop Jesus. He wants to show his love for this one nameless, hopeless woman. And then he wants to show his power over death if you keep reading. Now, some think this is thoughtless of Jesus to draw attention to her when she's already suffered so much. Why couldn't you just let her go in peace? But Jesus deals with her with gentleness and mercy and grace. He knows she's afraid. He's not trying to embarrass her. But he knows that she has a greater need. He knows that she needs to openly follow him and see him face to face and be called to faith in him and have a peace and a healing to both body and soul. And so we read in verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth." There are many people falling down before Jesus in fear in Mark's gospel, but I think this is the fear of faith. She's falling before him in complete awe and wonder and respect. And we read that she tells him everything. She tells him the whole truth. And now there are multiple witnesses now who have heard this woman, witnesses to the almighty power and compassion of Jesus. Her story is now known, and others can now share her joy. And now also Jesus can highlight and commend the centrality and the necessity of faith. Look at what Jesus says in verse 34, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Daughter, your faith has made you well. Daughter, Jesus calls her daughter, which conveys gentle love and care. He doesn't chastise her for her secrecy, her fear, for breaking the purity laws. He says to her, "My dear young lady, my daughter, your faith has made you well." Faith was the key. Faith was the instrumental cause of her healing. We need to be clear, it was the power and love of Jesus, the divine Son of God, that made her well. But by faith, she received that from Jesus. The power and the miracle didn't come from her faith, but from Christ. But it was her faith that reached out and touched and trusted Christ and accepted and received the gift of Christ's healing and his saving work. And that's why Jesus stops and highlights it and says, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made all the difference." And he's calling her to faith again in him and to continued faith in him, to trust him. And he's calling you and I who read this to faith in him as well. And Jesus' choice of words to her here is important. In verse 34, it shows us that this wasn't just about her physical well-being and her physical healing. He says, your faith has made you well, but he actually says, your faith has saved you. The word he uses here is the Greek word sozo. It has the same root as the word savior, salvation. The woman has not just been made well physically or saved from her bodily affliction. She's been saved from an even worse affliction. She's been saved from her sin, which has consequences far worse than a flow of blood. It lasts not for 12 years, but for an eternity. And friends, this is an affliction that all of us, all of you have. And so the vital question this morning is, have you been saved by faith in Jesus? Has he made you well, spiritually, eternally? Have you heard of him? Do you know that you need him? Do you know that nothing else and no one else can save you from suffering and sin and hopelessness and death? Do you know this? Have you come to him in faith? Have you touched him like this woman, trusted him, received him by faith? Have you gotten to the point where you know that you're hopeless without him? And that no amount of money or time or doctors or the wisdom of this world or your strength, nothing else, no one else can make you whole and happy and peaceful and alive forever except for him. Do you believe he can heal you? Do you have faith that Christ can make you well? Christ can save you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. This woman was saved by the grace of Jesus through faith in him. It was not her work. It was not her touch. It was not her pushing through the crowd. It was the gift of God. The gift of the Son of God, Jesus. And Jesus sends her away with peace. He says, go in peace. And this peace that he speaks of is not just a happy, warm feeling. It's not just peace for her body now. This peace he speaks of is peace with God. The peace that comes only from having reconciliation with God, full forgiveness, peace to both body and soul that comes only by faith in the Prince of Peace. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Be healed. Be whole again. Be cured. Be pure. And this woman is fully healed, fully cleansed and delivered from her affliction and ultimately from sin and death. And just imagine the sweetness and joy of that moment. Imagine the sweetness and joy of those words from Jesus, go in peace. This woman has had no peace for 12 long years. No peace, body or soul. Who gives her her peace? Real peace through physical healing and spiritual salvation. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the King, the Christ, the Savior, who has power to heal and save, who has compassion on helpless and hopeless people. Go in peace. And he can do so for her, and he can do so for you and me because of his blood shed on the cross. And you see, Jesus would have not just some power pass from him on that day. His very life would be given. His soul would pass from him in order to save this woman and you and me and a great multitude of hopeless sinners, body and soul forever, his blood would flow and would be drained from his body. His life would be drained in order to give you life and peace and healing, in order to pay for and cure every sin and every effect of sin forever in our broken bodies and souls. And friends, this beautiful, amazing, true story, this meeting in the crowd on that day, is a declaration of good news. It is a picture of the gospel. It says to each one of you here this morning that you too can have this peace. You can go in peace. You can be made well. You can be saved. You can have hope. You can have peace with God, peace like this woman, because of Christ's shed blood on the cross, because his blood flowed, because of who he is. Do you have that peace? Do you have this peace? You and I can't see and hear Jesus this morning like that woman did, with these eyes and with our ears. We can't follow him and reach out and actually touch him in a crowd. And most of you likely don't have such a debilitating physical affliction like this woman. You may not feel as though you are as helpless as she was. But apart from Jesus, we are all hopeless. We are all sinners. We are all in need of complete healing and salvation, new life and peace. We all need to be made well. We all need a Savior. We need Jesus. There may even be some here who know and trust Christ and have come to him in faith, but you're suffering. You've lost hope. Do you see the mercy and the power and the love of Christ and the peace that he gives? Go to Jesus. He can bring healing and hope and peace. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has completed his work on earth. He's a compassionate, perfect, faithful, powerful Savior who calls you to come to him, to believe in him, to have rest and peace and healing and life and wholeness and salvation in him. And so, friends, recognize that you need him. Recognize that you have an affliction even worse than this woman, sin and death to both body and soul apart from Christ. But recognize that he has an answer, that he is the answer, and he will save and he will heal. And so go to him, go to Jesus in faith. Go to Jesus, and you will go in peace. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your compassion and love for hopeless and helpless people, for afflicted sinners, and that you're willing to come into contact with them and take their sins, take our sins, take our uncleanness and our afflictions and our grief and our suffering upon yourself, Jesus, and that you've shed your blood so that we might have life and healing, so that we might be made well, and so that we might go in peace. Thank you for your love and your patience and your care for this woman and we look forward to meeting one day. And we pray that you would pour out such grace and peace and healing on everyone here this morning. Lord, press your word into our hearts and rivet our attention and our faith on Jesus Christ for your glory and for our good. For we pray it in his name. Amen.